She got the brown eyes, caramel thighs, long hair, no wedding ring. Hey, I saw you looking from across the way, and now I really wanna know your name. She got the white dress, but when she's wearing less, man, you know that she drives me crazy. The brown eyes, beautiful smile, you know I love watching you do your thing. I love her hips, curves, lips say the words. Tiamo mami, I kiss her. This love is like a dream. So join me in this bed that I'm in. Push up on me and sweat, darling. So I'm gonna.
Hey everyone, I am so excited that I get to do another podcast with you. Each month we get to do these things together where we can review and kind of just go back and see what we did in the last month, what we are going to do in the months to come. Today is a special time. It is actually Natasha and I's 6-year anniversary, and today we are obviously recording this on the 31st, so that's our anniversary date, and this will be live tomorrow. On our website, irenteverything.com, as well as on Facebook and CastBox. So, today we're just really excited to share with you kind of the journey that we've been able to take together, in creating a business and what that has turned into, and all of the decisions and things that we've had to work out together. You know, life really is a balancing act. And this podcast, when we started, we really did want it to be real. That was one of the major things. And so as we're doing this, the kids are in bed, the baby is on Natasha's lap. So it is a full family effort, as it is a family business. So Natasha, I am excited that you are here. So thank you for doing this, and I greatly appreciate it.
Excited to be here.
Good deal. Well, I think we're going to dive in and just kind of talk about, maybe from your perspective, Natasha, what is it to, and we haven't really prepared this or planned, and that's why I'm more excited about it, because you'll get kind of the unfiltered version of her. But, you know, is it exciting to be married to an entrepreneur? Is it stressful? Start us off. What really are you thinking with that?
That's a loaded question. Is it exciting or stressful? It's a little bit of both. I think that it's exciting to be married to somebody that has all these visions, and I'm a creative person, and I can see that Jonathan's a creative person, but in a different way. But also, while you're working out all those kinks, it can be stressful while you're trying to figure out how you're gonna make all the decisions, because even though he's the one that's out there working, this is how we make our livelihood. So it's something that we need to really work out together.
That's true. So not diving too hard into finance, but it is how we make our livelihood. So there's a couple of keys to being on the same page. I think the first one is definitely budgeting together. And it doesn't have to be. I think people get so scared about budgeting. And there's a lot of people that would maybe even disagree with me on this. But I think budgeting doesn't need to be pen and paper. It just really needs to be also communication, where we're talking with each other. And we're just setting these kind of clouds around each of the items. I kind of envision it as a cloud. Sometimes we go over in one area, but we communicate again, and we go under in another area, and that kind of paints the sky, if you will, to continue the metaphor. And so I also, you know, have thought that not only do you have to budget together, that's just one piece, but you also need to communicate daily. Because she's right, you know, there's a lot that goes on in my day-to-day that maybe she doesn't necessarily seize, but she definitely gets the repercussions of, if you will, when I come home at the end of the day.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's some people that have set up their finances so that only one person deals with the finances and the other person is completely oblivious. And, you know, we've tried doing things like that, but it just doesn't work for us. For us, what's kind of worked the best is to come up with an outline, kind of like he said, and we don't need to be stressing about sticking to it so rigidly, but really just talking back and forth regularly. Because, you know, one of the top three things that people get in fights about are finance, religion, and how to raise kids. So it's things that we need to talk about back and forth all the time.
Exactly. All right. So when I first started this business, I started probably working about, I would say close to, 80 hours a week?
I would say more.
More? Okay. Well, here we go. Already off to a good start. So I envisioned 80 hours a week. Here was my day, right? Just got married. Natasha and I had moved into a townhome in Windermere, Florida. And it was like $1,200 a month. Pretty decent townhome, but we were just starting and just figuring it out. And then I still had my landscaping business. So here's what was crazy is I was landscaping all day, and then pretty much Monday through, I was a busy DJ. So from Monday to like Thursday, maybe Monday to Wednesday, I was either at a networking event or I was at a consultation, because there was a lot of planning that had to go into the DJ aspect of it. And so then, normally I would DJ on Friday or Saturday or sometimes both. And then on Sunday, I would traditionally be off. There was a few Sundays that I had to work, but traditionally I would be off. So, I mean, I thought it was about 80 hours. Does that sound about right? Is that what it was? Or, maybe it could be more than that, but is that about how the schedule was set up?
Yeah, definitely. When we first had Noah, so we were actually 21 years old when we had Noah and got married. Jonathan was landscaping during the day, going to work at night, DJing, and I was absolutely losing my mind. I had just decided to be a stay-at-home mom, and we had just had a baby, so blame it on hormones or blame it on all the changes or whatnot, but it was crazy. So we knew something had to change, because as Noah got a little bit more fun to be around and not just in his newborn stage, Jonathan really decided that he wanted to be more present. And I think one of the things that always sticks out of my mind is how he always says that he doesn't want to miss the soccer games. Before we even knew Noah was going to play soccer, he knew that one of his core values that he wanted to stick to was that his kids were going to have special functions and special moments, and he wanted to be able to be at all of those things.
That is, you're right. And so this is a spot, again, segue, where little podcasts, you get to learn out and find out, rather. You get to learn and find out more about me than you normally would if we were meeting at a networking event, which is why I love these so much, because it's really about who we are and what we are. And she's right. I never wanted to miss a soccer game, never wanted to miss a special function at school, never wanted to work on a holiday, never wanted to miss something like a birthday, miss an anniversary, I took off today, never wanted to miss even just the day with the kids, because you can work your whole life away, but at the end of the day, you can never get those times back. And I think to me, they are so valuable, because once they're burnt and spent, you can never get them again. And, you know, I just think that's really important.
And, you know, some people might call this way of thinking privileged or entitled or whatnot. Like, you need to put in your time before you can reap the benefits. But I really think that it was just us setting down what was important to us and what our core values were going to be and our priorities and our passions, and making sure that we were working to fulfill those things. You know, what is that saying? You don't work to have a life.
Yeah, or it's something. In Wendy Bird's office, my accountant. And when you go in, it says,
don't live your life to
don't get so busy making a living that you forget to make a life.
Yeah,
that is one of my favorite things. Wendy, if you're listening, I love that sign. And when you go into her office, she literally has it sitting there in the waiting room, and you just get to sit there and look at it for 15 minutes while you're waiting on her, because she's kind of a busy and good accountant. So shout out to Wendy. But, you know, there's so many things that you can get caught up in at work, because work is fun. Work is supposed to be fun. Let's get back into this industry real quick. If you're in the entertainment industry like I am, if you're in the rental space, if you're in the lighting space, if you are a decorator or a wedding planner, you're doing this because you have a passion for it. So, wow, we're blessed that we don't have to get up every single day and go to a job. we get to actually go to a passion, go to something that we love. And so although this is exactly it, Natasha says I worked 80 hours, or I said I worked 80 hours. Natasha's thinking I worked...
I think I actually, in a crazy moment with my hormones, with holding a baby in my hand, wrote down how much you did, and I think it was closer to 120.
Okay, maybe 120 hours. Here's the crazy thing. I didn't even feel like I was working 80 hours, because for me... it was a passion. I absolutely love what I do, and I am so blessed and thankful to say that today I still feel the same exact way. When somebody books a contract, when somebody signs a rental deal, today I closed like 3 or 4 deals via email while I was off, and I literally felt jolts all throughout the day of excitement every time we closed the deal. Man, I'm passionate about what I do. I love what I do. We'll share that in the couple of podcasts to come, and we'll dive into that. So a little teaser there. But anyway, I'm really passionate about what I do. And so to me, it didn't feel like I was working 80 hours a week, or even 120 hours a week for that matter. It felt like I was working less than 80. And so as we move into kind of this next part, I want to dive into the transition that I took from being a DJ into owning an event rental company. So I really had a hard time making sure that I can take off on Saturdays for soccer games and making sure that I can take off for all of the different practices. Even Christmas Eve was a hard time. I mean, my gosh, I had events going on all the time. New Year's Eve, my goodness. If you're a DJ and you're not working on New Year's Eve, it's literally by choice, because someone will scoop you up for literally hundreds of dollars an hour. I mean, DJs are top dollar on New Year's Eve. But again, you can't put work above family. At least it doesn't go very far. And so for me, there were two things that were tugging at me at the same time. The first thing was, how am I going to retire? Because I didn't feel like I had a good plan for the long haul of my life to segue out of DJing into retirement. So that's one. And we talked about that a lot last podcast. So if you didn't hear last podcast, go back and listen to it. We talked about that process. But then the second thing was that work-life balance. It just wasn't there. For me, I found out that event rentals, when you deliver chairs, they don't necessarily need somebody to sit there and watch the chairs or change the song from one chair to the next. It just doesn't happen, right? You drop them off and then you typically leave. And so that gives you a bit more freedom. Would you say that that's kind of true, Natasha? Or I know now we're pulled again back into work. You know, the business is growing, so we're pulled in for different reasons, but it's not really to deal with setups and breakdowns.
Yeah, I remember that the conversation that we had was Jonathan saying how hard it is, because for DJing, people get really personal with who they want to request. And so I think the problem that we were having was that, you know, people meet with Jonathan at a consultation, but then they want Jonathan to be the face that they see at their event. And True. We were getting to a place where we were having very little flexibility with which events he could and couldn't take, because people were really wanting him there personally. And then he's like, nobody really cares who drops off the Chivari chairs or sets up the pipe and drape. So it was kind of supposed to be the easy way out, where he wasn't personally being so demanded at the events.
And, you know, our goal in this, right, in sharing all this, is not for everyone to go start a rental company. I mean, you can if you want to. There's plenty of business out there, and that's not a problem. But our goal is just to get you maybe to think about your business a little bit differently.
Yeah, I think that all of this really, you know, sometimes I get a little sad when Jonathan forgets about the DJ doctor that started it all. But I really have seen where it had its place and time, kind of just to launch this rental company that really showed what Jonathan is truly passionate about, which I'm not Now I can look back and see that it's not just mixing music, but he's more passionate about designing an event and the creativity behind it and having somebody's vision come to life. And that entails everything, the pipe and drape, the chairs, the tables, whatever, the elephant in the room, like whatever it is that you have for your crazy vision, his passion really is to try to make that come true. And that passion for event rentals, kind of exceeded his passion that he had for DJing.
True. I love when a bride or groom or a corporate customer of ours walks in and sees this amazing vision that we've worked hard on putting together. I don't think the customer necessarily knows how much goes on behind the scenes. And, you know, to be totally transparent, I'm not saying that I take off every Saturday. I do take off most Saturdays. What is there? There's 52 Saturdays in a year. I probably take off 45 of them. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, we try to say that
I mean,
if you have
10
to
or 12,
a
maybe.
Month or something.
Yeah, maybe 10 or 12. That's about right. Yeah. 10 or 12 Saturdays I probably do. October. Now, that doesn't matter, right? I haven't worked a Saturday in the last 3 or 4 months, but October slammed here in Florida and I'm working a Saturday. Next weekend I'm going up to Atlanta, I believe, to, you know, facilitate a huge load in that we have in the city there. And so I'm not saying, you know, again, what I was saying before is I'm not saying that everyone needs to go start a rental company, but there's the entertainment business is a passion. Let's go back to what I was saying. And it takes work-life balance to get through it. And, you know, you might have a spouse that is over there screaming, saying, focus on me too, focus on me too, focus on me too. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you have a really quiet spouse that's pretty submissive and just, you know, goes with the flow. And that's cool too. Maybe it doesn't bother them. But your family is totally affected by your business. And it is something that is just... it's a woven basket. It's all tied together. And what I believe that we should really be focusing on is how can, if you're a planner, how can I dedicate flexibility to my customers, but also giving my family what they need? Here's what I mean by that. I'm going to talk about my business for just a minute. I used to, and Natasha, tell me your thoughts on this, but I used to meet with people pretty much when they wanted to meet. And that's changed.
Yeah.
We now meet with people Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And, you know, I've had a cake baker locally tell me, well, Saturday is our busiest day. We have to meet on Saturday. It's when we make most of our deposit money or what have you. And it just doesn't have to be like that. You can set your own hours. My point is, if you are, I love hotels. If you are the Ritz-Carlton, people will pay more for the Ritz-Carlton because you are the Ritz-Carlton. Is it just because of the name? Nope. Is it just because of the service? Nope. It's because it's a woven basket. There's a bunch of things. There's free things when you walk in the door. There's a nice valet guy. There's a amazing wait staff. There's the whole experience. It's everything together. So people pay less for the Fairfield Inn, although I love Fairfield Inn. I'm not hating on them. I'm going to probably stay there tomorrow night when we're on our way to Atlanta. But there's nothing wrong with that. But that's a different grade of hotel. And so... if us as the wedding industry in Orlando can become, and even I'm in other markets, so if us in Nashville or if us in Atlanta or if us in New York or if us in Dallas, those are a lot of the markets that I seem to work in, or Houston rather, throughout the year, if us in those areas can be more strategic about how we plan our events, how we plan our time, when we take our consultations, you know, this is the most important day in their lives. We do this every single day. So if you are the one vendor that they want and that they need, they're going to have to take off a day of work to go meet with you. And your family should not suffer or have some sort of pushback or feel the effects of you creating a successful business. Am I right?
Yeah, to kind of touch on a couple things there. When he said before, it is kind of hard. There's all different types of spouses, and I have been both. I have been the one that's been in the corner being like, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. And then sometimes I've kind of taken more of just a backseat role and just kind of been supportive of whatever Jonathan wanted. But it's really hard as an entrepreneur, any business person really, to kind of just leave their work at the door, not bringing into the home. And so I think that that's where it comes in, that it's so important to do things together so that you're on the same page, because realistically, work is going to kind of pour into the house little by little, whether you try to or not, unless you have ridiculously good self-discipline and boundaries and you kind of just shut it off completely when you come into work. But yeah, Unfortunately, you know, with this business, it's kind of 24 hours a day.
And you got to try different things, right? Yeah. I mean, there was one time where I took all of my email off my phone. And to be quite honest with you, that didn't work for me. Because my phone would then still ring, and honestly, I tried it for probably like 2 months. I mean, I really gave it a good swing, and I had no email on my phone, okay? People would stand up at networking events, I remember this one lady stood up at a networking event, and, you know, we talked about response time and email and everything else, and people were like, I respond in 5 minutes, and I was thinking in my head, I respond in 5 hours, and the business is still grown, you know? That's okay, but you know, that didn't work for me. But now what I have is I have an answering service. It's a call center that I pay in Atlanta. And, you know, really inexpensive. It's not expensive. It's like $300 maybe a month, maybe $200 a month. But in the amount of business phone calls that I get, it's a good deal. When you break it down per call, it's a really good deal. And so for me, what's working right now is I have a personal phone number, which customers ask for all the time, but I literally just respectfully say, let me give you this phone because it seems to be the best way to get in touch with me. Or you can text me all the time because, you know, I can kind of control the text. So that gives them a friendly, you know, text message, but they can't necessarily call me and wake me up or disturb my storytelling time with the kids or interrupt my dinner or anything like that unless I choose and I let them. Keyword is I let them.
And I understand what you were saying about, you know, building a brand. Once you build a brand and you're really wanted, then you don't have to feel like your customers are controlling your schedule, and you don't feel like you have to take everything that walks the door, and you can kind of be more picky about the events that you do want to take and when you want to meet, and you can feel more confident in having those set hours and say, nope, I'm going to do it from this time to this time. And then if you have a brand that people want badly enough, then they'll work around your schedule, and they won't expect that you're going to sit here and meet with them at 3 o'clock in the morning because it's the only time they can meet. And then if you have to say no to that event, you feel more confident saying no. But I think definitely in the beginning of a business, you kind of feel like you have to grab everything that comes through the door because you might not even have enough to pay for next week's electric bill or whatever.
Right. I mean, you have to put a roof over your family's head. And I know that this stuff all comes with balance, but there's a lot of people who I see that have made it. You've made it. Orlando, oh my gosh. Orlando specifically is blessed with amazing amounts of talent. I mean, I could literally name 50 businesses right now in the entertainment space, all which are ultra successful. But some of them are still working like dogs to keep up. And, you know, I'm not telling you not to work hard, okay? I'm not preaching the 4-hour work week, although that's a great book. I'm not preaching that. What I'm preaching is a work-life balance. It's just having the backing and comfort to say, I have worked. Let me give you a practical example. I'm not even going to go down that road. I'll give you a practical example. I am taking off Friday, and I took off today, which means I'm only working Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. So I go to work. I wake up at 5:30 a.m. I shower, check the mail, check my email rather, check Facebook, see kind of like all the things that are going on, see what I've missed throughout the day. And then from there, I normally get out of the house about I don't know, maybe 6:30. It takes me about an hour. And after I get out of the house, I head to work. I stop at Starbucks every single morning. That's a routine, okay?
A rut,
okay. Americano is mine. And a bottle of water, and sometimes a perfect bar. Love all of those things at Starbucks. And then I get to work, and I work super, super hard. I am a big advocate of no meetings, or if I do meetings, I do them all in one day in the week. So, did you hear that? Tuesday this week was my meeting day. And so I was in Titusville. I did three meetings back to back to back, came back to Orlando, did one more, and I took no other meetings for the rest of the day or for the rest of the week, if that, you know, for that matter, unless they were on FaceTime or a phone meeting. Because it is so unproductive to drive somewhere for 30 minutes. You're unproductive for about the 30 minutes leading up to the drive because you're getting ready to leave or, you know, whatever you're doing. It takes three times as long to get your point across because you have to sit there through the customer's whole idea cycle as that pours out. And then you get to drive back. And so there's no real good need for a meeting. But anyway, just creating those things. So what I'm saying is not to work 4 hours. I'm literally saying to just create a balance for yourself to where you can work 3 days and they could be the most productive 3 days of your week.
And another work-life balance that I think that we have had to figure out is how we were going to do this together, because realistically, I'm not there every time every single decision's made, and Jonathan can't tell me every little thing that happens in the day, but we have come up with the things that, you
sometimes
know,
she thinks I can.
So we have come up with the things that he has felt that I should be involved in. So some of those things include, you know, interviewing people and the hiring process, or
anytime. How does that work?
So anytime that Jonathan filters through some applications, and sometimes he'll talk with them over the phone, maybe even meet with them one person, and if he thinks that this person's really going to be a true fit, then we have like a spousal interview. Both of us will meet with that person. And then
we'll invite their spouse, too, if they want to, and we'll take them out to dinner or something, make it a little bit more less formal.
Right. And then we talk about things, and sometimes I see things that he doesn't see, and sometimes I'll be like, oh yeah, now I can pick up on what you saw in that person, and we'll make those decisions together. If there's a big decision concerning, you know, Jonathan just had this huge sale, sold close to $30,000 worth of inventory, you know, that was kind of something that we had to talk over and things like that. So we've set the things that, again, kind of like the priorities, we sat down and we set down things that the parameters that we were going to follow, and then kind of giving ourselves some clarity and boundaries really helps us keep a good balance. And you know, we have to hold each other accountable, because sometimes I'll be out of the loop for a while and I kind of have to be like, hey babe, I've been out of it a little bit. Do you want to tell me? He's like, oh yeah, work's been crazy, and the other way around, you know? So I think that work-life balance is something that we're continuously working on. We don't have it all figured out, but these are just kind of little things that we've learned in the, 4 or 5 years that rental business has been up?
Yeah, it's about 4 years now, and continue to grow it debt-free. We have no debt on the business, which just feels really great, and it's been a commitment. And it's just, it really has been, I don't want to say simple. It hasn't been simple.
It feels natural.
It feels, yeah. It natural feels, is it feels passion. Good. Yeah. I mean, I don't want this to be the highlight reel. It's not. Trust me, there's plenty of arguments that Natasha and I have had, tons of them. Okay. Some of them even like make my stomach hurt sometimes. I mean, it's just, there's plenty of things. We don't agree on everything. And, you know, you shouldn't either with your spouse. It's okay to disagree, but having that balance, it's all just about, I mean, we keep, that's the theme of this podcast, and that's also what we keep talking about. It's just that balance between each other, where, like Natasha said, she said something really big right there. If, literally, this is totally true, if I believe 100% that we should do it, and Natasha feels like we should not do it. I talk about it and I try to convince her that we should do it and show her my reasoning rather, you know, and hopefully it's convincing enough. But at the end of the day, if she still feels uncertain about it, we don't do it because she's not there every day, but I have to come home every day and I want to be able to share with her.
You want to be on the same page or at least in the same chapter.
Right. Everything that happened and what went on and make sure that we can still talk about it. Because I feel like if I go against her and she, I have gone against her. So I'll tell you this, I have a couple of times and every single time it has bit me in the butt. So, right.
But that's just an outside perspective, you know, as the person that's there in the thick of it every day, I think you can get kind of wrapped up in making emotional decisions. And so it's a little easier for me to bring an outside perspective.
Well, yeah, every unbiased. Idea of mine is a great one. Yeah. So, I mean, that's okay. So anything else? I know we're wrapping up here. Anything else that you have, Natasha, that you wanted to talk about or share?
No, I think honestly, for the wives out there, it's really... It's about just keeping the bigger picture. If you guys can both have at least the same big picture that we're working towards, because at least that's something that Jonathan and I have. We might not agree on what the next hour or two look like, but we agree what we want the next 5 years to look like or the next 10 years. So we know that we're consistently working on the same goal. And I think that even though, you know, we might have different ways that we think in the moment to get there, knowing that that other person is on your team and is your partner and is the one that you are doing this with is what keeps us married.
Yeah.
And doing this together.
6 years. What's one thing that we suck at?
I've got one. Sticking to our budget.
Okay. That could be one.
If we're being real.
Yeah. Sometimes I see a lot of shiny things that I like. I would say date nights.
Oh, yeah.
I suck at those.
Yeah. Well, it's not just you. We just sometimes when you have time off work, yeah, we don't know if we want to spend time with each other or with the whole family or.
Maybe that's something we can get better at.
Yeah.
All right.
Bringing the kids on all of our vacations.
Yeah, that's true. Family trips or vacation. Anyway, I don't know. But there's a couple things, right? Always room for improvement. Well, hey, guys, thanks so much for listening. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you for being here, Natasha, and agreeing to do this with me. Guys, we'll see you next month, September 1st. I believe we are, I don't have the calendar in front of me, but I'm pretty sure we are interviewing, it's Hospitality Month, that's what it is. So Hospitality Month, we are interviewing someone from the restaurant hospitality space. And so we will most likely be doing the podcast on location next month. Traveling, taking it somewhere, and we've got a couple locations that we're working with, so we will pick one of them, and more details to come throughout the month of July, or rather August, I'm sorry, July, I can't believe is almost over. Well, hey guys, again, thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of this, and we will see you on September 1st.
Bye.
Jet plane headed up to the sky. Spread wings and the clouds getting high. We ain't hit a rave in a while, so take me back to London.
Yo, I do deals but I never get twanged. Moves that ain't never been planned. No goons that were never in gangs. Where I'm from, chat shit get banged. Where I'm from, chat shit, let the 12 gauge drip. Yeah, sick how it fits in my hand. I don't mix with the glitz and the glam. All these stupid pricks on the gram. I don't do online beef or Nicki Gram beef. I'm way too G'd up to beef for gram. Need couple and AP to help me time keep my shooter ride. Deep he moves when I speak my shooter ride. Shooter guy, leave you wet like you scuba dive. We were younger then and now we're unified. South London boys, get you crucified and gone.
It's that time, Big Mike and Teddy are on grime. I wanna try new things, they just want me to sing because nobody thinks I write rhymes. But now I'm back in the biz and my guy, give me a packet of crisps and my pine. I hit my friends up, go straight to the pub because I haven't been home in time. Yes, but that's my fault. Gross half a billy on the divide tour. Yes, I ain't kidding, what would I lie for? But now I'm back on the track with Big Michael. He said,
Teddy, never get off your high horse and never let him take your crown.
I've been away for a while, traveled a million miles, but I'm heading back to London town right now.
Jet plane headed up to the sky.
To the sky.
Spread wings and the clouds getting high. We ain't hit a rave in a while. So take me back.
This podcast has been brought to you by iRentEverything.com.